last week we started a title called The Good Shepherd. And I want to continue on with that. But today I want to try to go on another side here so that you can understand it. It's needful to go on these other sides sometimes so that you can see what's going on, because we as Christians in our lives don't understand where we're at, what's going on, what the Lord is doing. We just don't get it. Stevie called me up and asked me a question Friday. And he was in Atlanta for 3 weeks, you know, going down there for school. And he said he had heard on the news down there that some mom and dad, I don't know if they're mom and dad or whatever, but anyway, they had an 8-month-old baby. They left it alone in the presence of a pit bull. The pit bull ate the baby. And he said, how can a loving God let that happen? You know where that goes. And it brings out an anger. And we haven't got there yet. We will eventually get to that holy anger. But, you know, you're going to come across these kind of things in your life. What is going on here? If God's in charge, how could he let that happen? But, and I want to tell you, that's why there's a great division. People don't see there's a division. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness, they're perishing. These things happen in that kingdom. It's not odd. I mean, that's the way it is. We can't see the division because we don't know where we're at. It takes a lot of teaching and understanding to be able to see those things. So I'm talking about the Good Shepherd, and we're going to touch a little bit on those kind of, not that far, but maybe this might help to get you to understand a little bit of what's going on in your life at certain points. So we got to go to the Psalm 23. I'm going to read you a few verses here. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That word here that we first come across, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. That word leadeth is a word for gently leads. We used to sing a song, Gentle Shepherd, Gently Lead Us. This is a gentle leading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me into peace, and he feeds me gently, just where I need it. And I live in peace. Whenever it gets tough, he restores my soul. And it's great. Right? Be awesome if the psalm ended there, wouldn't it? Be awesome if that was it, and we said, hallelujah, great. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He feeds me. I'm full. Everything is tulips and daisies all around me. There are times when everything is great, and then there's the other times when things ain't so great. And I want to tell you a little secret here, just to let the cat out of the bag. See, you remember last week we were talking about the sheep being his pets with their own name and how he loves them. Now, these sheep are his pets, but they're not all angels. They're little rebels. They're little obnoxious, arrogant rebels that think they know better than the shepherd. That's really who these sheep are, and the sheep has got to learn. And let me just tell you this, you're the sheep. So we're the arrogant, little, think we know it all rebels in the flock of God. And we got to learn. So see, there's times over here when he leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul and he feeds me to the full and all his peace. And then there's these other times. It says right here in verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's a different word than the first word leadeth. It's two different words. You can look it up. The first word was he leads me gently. Now this next word leadeth me, the path of righteousness, it means he drives me. It means he pushes me to the point of painting. And I'm not saying painting walls, but I'm out of breath. I'm in a place where I've been pushed to exhaustion. I'm being pushed somewhere I don't want to go. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever went somewhere they did not want to go? Has the Lord ever kind of drove you someplace you did not want to go? I'm here because he drove me here. I did not want to go. I was happy where I was at, Denise. I was satisfied. Me and Tracy were talking about it yesterday. She said, we were going back to Morgan. She was looking at something. She said, remember when Morgan used to ride horses? I said, yeah. She said, you remember? She had a show, and they're going to ride horses on a Saturday. And she said, you wouldn't even miss going with your daughter to ride. You was going to church. You was old Primitive Baptist. She said, and the way you brought it up, you're like, well, if I miss church, you know, the horse is going to kick her in the head and kill her. So I got to go to church. And she said, you remember all that stupid stuff? How did you get out of that? How did I get out of that? It wasn't because I woke up one day and said, y'all, the Lord drove me. And I did not want to go. And I cried and I kicked and I screamed all the way. I really did. He drove me out. Those people turned on me. Well, I'd have still been there. See, he leads me. And I mean, how are you here? Y'all were Souls Harbor. How was y'all here? Did y'all get a letter in the mail, an email from God that said, go up there in the valley? No. He drove y'all out. Y'all went and suffered through it, didn't you? I mean, I remember your conversation. You went and you didn't know what to do, and you're praying, what's going on? What's going on? The Lord is over there. Because you're a bunch of little rebels. Every one of you, just like me. We think we listen to the Lord, but we don't. We're like Abraham. Get out of your country and leave everybody. Come on, Dad. Come on. Why? Come on, everybody. Go with me. No, I told you. See, we don't listen. You know? I mean, that's what we do, ain't it? The Lord knows. I mean, he's the good shepherd, right? He knows. But so he leads me into the place that I'm exhausted. I'm panting. I don't know what to do. Here I am. He leads me into the path of righteousness. Why? For his own namesake. The sheep, see, the sheep is out there, and I'm just kind of get this picture in your head, that the sheep is out there, and he looks up at these high mountains and the cliffs and the small rock ledges, and he says, shepherd, I don't know what you're doing. You're crazy. I was safe right here. Everything was fine. I was by the side of the still waters. Everything was at peace, and now you're wanting me to go there, and it looks unsafe. That's a high mountain. I don't know if you know it. There's a limit to what I can do. You want me to climb on a mountain? Have you seen that I don't have long toes? As a matter of fact, I don't even have toes. I got two little old hooves, and they're slick. And have you ever seen a deer on pavement? He can't even stand up on pavement. And you want me to climb on the mountains? I don't know, shepherd. You kind of lost your mind. I know you call me by name, but I think you've lost it. I think I'll just stay here. It's better here. You know if I start to go that way, I'll fall. I mean, you made me. You know if I go there, I'm going to fail. dumbest shepherd in the whole world. Ain't got a lick of sense. I don't know. You know, I can't do that. You got to bring us around into real stuff, because it's like, Paul, how are you going to go against the mighty Roman Empire with this little thing called the gospel? I mean, that sounds crazy. You're just going to go down there and preach to them and turn the world upside down? Paul had to learn, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where was he at first? Oh, this thorn in my flesh, Lord, I can't. And he turned it around, and I can through Christ. You see, but you got to get to that point. The shepherd knows what's best for the sheep. He's the shepherd, right? And he's looking at you and saying, Denise, if you don't move, you will die here. The wolves will get you. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Now just bring this down into your life. If you don't move here, you will die. So he knows what he's doing. I mean, you look, you know. You've got to follow the rest of the flock. You've got to move. You cannot stay here. And isn't it something how the Lord will move you to where you cannot stay? He does, because he's a good shepherd. Now you wonder, when he's shaking everything, why in the world is this happening, right? I've been in this church for 20 years. And now all of a sudden, nothing is comfortable. Nothing is right. Everything is, what is going on here, God? And he's saying, you cannot stay here. You must move or you will die. I'm the good shepherd. Why does he do it? For his name's sake. He knows who are his. He knows that those who hear his voice, who know him. And we can't, you know, when I say we were little rebels, listen, I didn't say this first. Paul said it. All have sinned and come short. None saw the action. So we've all been rebels at some point in time. Maybe again, who knows? But he's the good shepherd. You've got to grow up. In the East, when these shepherds would deal with these little rebellious sheep, they would get in a place, they wouldn't budge. I think it's funny because I see the little sheep to get in a place, they won't budge. I mean, the church building could burn down. And they would sit in the ashes and go buy them another chair and sit in the ashes. And you know what I mean? They will not budge. So what does a shepherd do? The shepherd's got a strange way of handling that sheep. I'm talking natural shepherds over in the Middle East, what they would do. Now listen to what I'm telling you. The little sheep gets stranded on this little rock and he won't move, and he's there. But he gets himself in a predicament where he can't go up, he can't go down. I kind of think like a cat in a tree, you know what I mean? I'm out on a limb, call the fire department. I ain't coming down. Tracy's uncle's in the fire department, and he told me this story. Well, it's not really a story. He told me this fact. He said, you know, people call all the time, cat's up in a tree, you know, can you come and get it? And he always tells them, we're not going to bring fire trucks out for that. The cat will come down. Well, he's been up there 2 days. He said, you know what? We have never went and watched a cat die in a tree. Never, ever will a cat die in a tree. He will come down. Yeah. But that's just a little side note. That's the free part. So the shepherd here will take that sheep, and the sheep has gotten himself in a place where he can't get out, and he'll leave the sheep there. The shepherd says, oh, all right, you want to stay there? You know that you can't get out unless I come and get you. I'm going to leave you right there. And the shepherd would go off from the sheep, making it look like he had left the sheep, but he would go up to another place and hide and watch the sheep to make sure the sheep was safe. But the sheep don't know it. The sheep thinks he's all alone. He wouldn't feed the sheep because to the sheep, he's gone. So the sheep is there. Now he's getting hungry. Nighttime's coming. He starts to cry all night. Have you ever been? I mean, has this ever happened to you in real life? Where's the Lord at? He's left me. He's gone. Well, you think he's left you. He's off watching you, but your own rebellion because you wouldn't listen to the Lord when he told you to come on to start with. See, we think we're all instant obedience. That's pitiful. I told you we're all arrogant little sheep. And when I do hear the probably since I was 15, you know, I'm over 50. And I think, hey, I got it, I heard the Lord. And the Lord's going, shoo, you idiot. I've been hollering at you for 45 years. You know what I mean? So now the sheep is in this place. He's hungry. He's cold. He's tired. The sheep would cry all night long. The sheep would hear the cries of the coyotes. And he's crying, thinking he's all alone. He can't go up. He can't go down. He's the bleeding of the sheep. He's just bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. Everybody's left me. See, he was a rebellious sheep. That's why he got in that spot anyway. He was disobedient. He was rebellious. I can guarantee you every situation I've gotten myself into is my own fault. My own stupidity. Rebellion got the sheep there. And now it wants out. And now it can't. It's caught. It's trapped. Suddenly, its nice little taste of rebellion don't taste so good. You know what I'm talking about. A few minutes ago, it was like, that stupid shepherd, he don't know what he's doing. I was fine over here. I've been in this church for 25 years. It's great. We know everybody. Our family's here. We're established here. And he wants me to go here. This is crazy. I'm not going. All right. We'll stay there. That's fine. Sometimes the shepherd would leave that sheep there for days. Sheep ain't got no food. He's cold. He's hungry. He's tired. See, he leads me drives me into these things. And the shepherd is teaching the sheep a lesson. Finally, when the sheep is completely exhausted, in other words, he's got no more strength. And isn't that amazing? In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. When the sheep is completely exhausted, thinking he's going to starve to death, who shows up? The shepherd. The sheep is so weak, he can't even walk. But that's okay. The shepherd comes and picks the sheep up, puts the sheep on his shoulders, feeds him a special berries that the sheep loves, that nourishes the sheep back to health. Takes a couple days for the sheep to get back to full strength. Meanwhile, where is the sheep? He's on the shoulders of the shepherd. He's too weak to even get down. So there's a great bond of relationship that is being formed here. Finally, the sheep says, "This is a pretty good place. I'm not even walking. I'm being carried by the shepherd who reaches in his pouch and feeds me the special berries that brings back strength to me." Do you see what I mean? So the sheep's thinking, I'm not planning on leaving this anytime soon. See, the Lord has ways, the shepherd has ways to induce us into the paths of righteousness. See, if you won't go when you hear the voice of the shepherd, don't think he's just going to leave you there. He's responsible for you. Never forget that. For his name's sake. Do you understand what I just told you? The Lord is responsible for you. He's given his life for you. He's going to get you. You know, guys, I take great comfort in that sometimes because I feel those very ways. And in the middle of that, I sit and I think, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. It's for His name's sake, Denise. He is responsible for me. He will come in the midst of my stupidity, in the midst of my rebellion, in the midst of me starving to death on a rock and won't follow Him, won't be obedient. Still yet, it ain't my name on the line. He's the good shepherd. For His own name's sake. See, He's got a name. In other words, He's got a reputation. I've not lost one. Isn't that His reputation? For all the Father's given me, Roger, I've not lost one. He's got a reputation to uphold. So when I'm out there in my rebellion, He steps up and says, wait a minute, I got a reputation here. I'm known among all the other shepherds that are around, and I'm known as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the bishop of our souls. I'm known in the land, I'm known in heaven as being the good shepherd. And I haven't lost one. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it does to me. You know, because I heard the debate the last couple of days on salvation. You know, once saved, always saved. You know, somebody calls in, you can lose your salvation. You know how all that goes. And I'm thinking, man, I'd just love to call in on the radio station and say, do y'all know the Good Shepherd? Because this never was about me doing anything or keeping anything to start with. If it was, that's salvation by works. Man, this thing is grace. And the Good Shepherd has got a reputation. And I'm a sheep, and He's responsible for me. That's why I'm here. Because He's responsible for me. Indiana, that rebel won't listen to nothing I tell him. I'll let him starve to death for a few years up there in Indiana. But when I come and get him, he'll learn his lesson. And I'll feed him with these special berries and bring his strength back. But in the meantime, I'm going to carry him on my shoulder. You see what I'm talking about? This is a good shepherd. And don't think you're going to be the first sheep to challenge his reputation or try to mess up his reputation. He'll get you there. His name's at stake. They gave him a name when he was born, didn't they? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall what? Save his people from their sins. So salvation really wasn't ever left up to me anyway. I got a good shepherd. I hope you get what I'm saying. He shall save. How can I? Listen, I may be lost. I may get lost. And brothers and sisters, I have been lost. I may wander around on a rock again. Who knows? I'm an idiot. I just tell you that straight up. I mean, I know me, but I don't know me as well as He knows me. So when I do stupid things, God ain't surprised. Jesus ain't surprised. He didn't wake up one morning and say, I can't believe He did that. I do that. He says, I know you. I made you. These hands formed you. I know you're a weak idiot. That's okay. I'm the good shepherd. My name's at stake here. He shall save their people from their sins. Sometimes we get so arrogant we don't even see it. But He'll do a perfect job. I promise you. He will do a perfect job. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But He will, because His name's at stake. That's who He is. He's the good shepherd. And I know sometimes we don't like these subjects here, but it helps to know why you're starving. Why you're on top of that rock and you feel all alone. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever just feel like I'm starving and I feel like I'm all alone? See, these messages will help you to understand and to give you some reassurance that the shepherd hasn't left you. And when He swoons in to get you, and you're so weak, He'll feed you with His little special berries. that he's grew from his own special garden right there in that garden of spices while he's got you on his shoulders. Right? See, and that's, now I know that. I wished I knew that then, Patty. Because I really thought that my sin and iniquity had caused him to leave. But that's what everybody else told me too, Patty. They told me, you can lose it. You had salvation. You lost it. You're the one who's ticked God off so much that he left you. But I never saw that. His name's at stake here. For his name's sake. So he just looks around. He says, ah, that little gent. He thinks he's going to ruin my reputation. He thinks he's going to ruin my number, Roger. I've not lost one. And little Jimmy thinks that I'm going to lose him. You don't know what's at stake here. All heaven is looking on. All the angels are looking on. Oh, Jesus said, has he done enough to, has he done enough to be sent away? Has he done that? You know, I hear this every week too. The unpardonable sin. Has he blasphemed? And you know, you had to turn your back on Jesus. He said, this ain't nothing. What's my name? My name is Jesus. My name is Yeshua. My name in itself means salvation. I've not lost once. Been thousands of years, babe. I've never lost one. And this little Jimmy thinks he's something. Man, does he remember me having to deal with Cain? Oh. He shall save their people. And helps to know when it seems you've been exposed to the devil and you fell flat on your face. It helps to know. Now, I gotta tell you something. We're going to come back here, and I'm going to try to remember. I put this little thing in there. Do you remember the most arrogant little sheep? The most arrogant little sheep. His name was Peter. He thought he had some shepherd in him. You know, Peter did. He thought, man, I'd be a pretty good leader. You know, I've got what you're saying, Jesus. John's an idiot, but I got it. Matthew, we didn't like him to start with. He's a stinking tax collector. But I got it. I know what you're saying, Jesus. I'm with you. Matter of fact, I could sit on your right hand or your left hand when you come in the kingdom. I mean, this is how good I am. I've got it. They had this argument at the table. At the table that we're going to partake of here in a few minutes. You know, they had that. There was contention at the table. The tension at the table was, I'll sit on the right and I'll sit on the left and I'll come into the kingdom. And you know, Peter was so arrogant, you know, when Jesus started to wash their feet. You know, that was the slave's job. They come in, they bypass that because Peter's thinking, you know, it's not my job, Beth. It's not my job because that's the lowest person in the house's job. I'm not the lowest person in the house. I've been raised up right. I've been raised up in the ways of the Gentiles. The Gentiles had their seating order, their, as we call it in the world today, their pecking order. Well, I'm Peter. I go sit up here. One of you lowly disciples can do that. How do you think he felt when Jesus got up, went over there and put that towel around him and said, huh? Jesus took the place of a slave? This ain't right. Jesus, you're a crazy shepherd, and let me correct you. Let me set things right, Jesus. You've got a moment of insanity. It's okay. You got me. Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. You've got it out of place. This is Peter. I mean, look what he says here. I'm gonna read you just a little bit. Matthew 26. Then said, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, not sometime in the future, tonight. Tonight is it. You're going to be offended in me. For I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm risen, I'll go before you in Galilee. Peter steps up. Peter answered him and said, though all men shall be offended, Yet I will never be offended. I'm the one, Jesus. Aren't you proud of me? What did Jesus say? Verily, truth, Peter. I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And you know what Peter's thinking? Ah, Jesus, he's been in the communion wine a little bit early. Maybe he's a little tipsy. He don't really know me. I'm not going to be offended of him. I love Jesus. I love him. I know who he is. I'm the one that had the revelation, Patty. I'm the one that had the revelation. Thou art the Son of the living God. It was me. It wasn't John. It wasn't James. It was me. You know, how did Jesus handle that? Listen, Jesus is so awesome. Because right here today, and all these Gospels, you got to piece all these together. And just for time's sake, I can't go into all of them. But I'll give you this a little bit. Because in John 13, they're right there at the table. Judas has just went out. They're sitting there at the table when all this tension is going on. We're going to go through this one of these days to see what happened. I mean, chapter after chapter takes place at this table and the events surrounding it. And Peter said unto him in verse 37, Lord, why can I not follow thee? I will lay my life down for thy sake. Peter just steps up and says, you know, I'll die for you. The other scriptures say, they say that in other gospels, I'll die for you. And in the midst of that, Jesus says, well, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. He reminds him again, but again, we got a good shepherd here, a good father. And Jesus, in the midst of all of that, just saying that, the next verse, chapter 14, verse 1 says, but let not your heart be troubled. See, Jesus is so good, he ain't like the other shepherds that could run off and hide and sit up on the rock. Jesus says, bam, you want to sit out here on this rock? I'll sit here with you. The whole flock is moving on to safety. You want to sit here? I'll sit here with you. Let not your heart be troubled, Peter. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord isn't shocked at some of our stupid stuff as we think He is. The Good Shepherd is not going to look at Peter and say, huh, I can't believe you did that. Devil, come and get Peter. I want nothing else to do with Peter from now on. He's the Good Shepherd. His name's at stake. He knows what he's doing. He just kind of looks at Peter, the little arrogant, big mouth Peter, the little arrogant sheep. If only you could see, Peter, the plans that I have for you. If only you knew what I knew about you and the things that the Holy Spirit will bring forth from you. If you would just hear me. But here you are, Peter, you swagger around. You won't be offended. And I'm going to tell you what. Peter's arrogance had some validity to it. As I told you before, he was the one that had the revelation, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God, who walked on the water. It was Peter. Peter said, look, guys, I'm the guy that walked on the water. How could I be the one to be offended? I'll be the only one to go into death for you, Jesus. Peter always pushing ahead. Mount of Transfiguration, God Almighty has to shut Peter up. He sees Jesus being transfigured. Peter jumps up and says, my God, it's good to be here. Woo, let us build 3 tabernacles. We ain't going to leave anybody out. One for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. Man, it is good to be. God says, shut up. Big mouth Peter, shut up! This is my son! Hear ye him! Hear the voice of the good shepherd, Peter! Time to close it a little bit. Now, don't get up and leave on me. I got you this far. How is Jesus going to deal with Peter in this situation? The love, and I got to go over here to Luke. I think it's in Luke. The love that the shepherd has for the sheep, he allowed the devil to come to Peter. Now listen to what I'm telling you. He exposed Peter so Peter would learn about himself. See, he already knows about you, but you don't. So sometimes you get exposed a little bit. Peter thinks he can do all of this stuff and bring it about like Moses. You know, Moses was the same way. God's going to use me to deliver Israel from Egypt. As soon as the Egyptian rose up against the Israeli, what did he do? He slew him. And he thought, now all the people, thus thou shalt rally around me. I'm the prince. What did they do? You going to kill us too, Moses? He became a wanted fugitive. So Jesus says, all right, Peter, I'm going to leave you here with your big mouth and your enthusiasm. We'll see what happens. But he says, Peter, let me tell you, going into this thing, that I prayed for you. I already do. He didn't say, I will pray for you. Pray, that's past tense. He says, Peter, I already knew. I've already prayed for you. Do you realize before you go into the mess, he's already prayed for you? Because he knew it ahead of time. You just get a hold of this. Peter, I want you to know going into this thing, I'm holding you. I'm holding you. I think of it. You ever had a little kid in a swimming pool? You're there and it's 5 foot deep and you're standing there and now the pool's 3 foot over their head and they're trying to learn to swim with one arm while they're holding on to you because they know if you let them go, they're going down. Peter, I got you. I got you, Peter. I got both hands on you. As a matter of fact, if you'll look back through my reputation, I've lost none. Just want to remind you, Peter, let not your heart be troubled. This is going to be ugly on you for a little bit. This is going to be hard for you, Peter. You're going to go through it and you're going to experience some pain. I can't sit here and tell you you won't. But I want you to know, Peter, I got you. I want you to know, Peter, that the devil could not touch you without a special permit from me. Do you understand what I just told you? He says Satan has desired you. In other words, Satan has knocked on my door and says, what about Peter? Same thing happened in the book of Job, didn't it? In other words, Satan couldn't touch Peter without special permission from God alone. That's why it says he desired him. Because if he didn't desire him, he could have just done whatever he wanted to him, couldn't he? But he had to come and get special permission. He says, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. You know what sift is? You ever sift? You know what sifting is? Is when you put it all in there and you shake it. And the good stuff falls out and the bad stuff stays. What did he say was going to happen in our lives, Paul in Hebrews? I'm not only going to shake the earth, but heaven also. Peter, I'm allowing you to be shaken until there's nothing left in you but faith. Because you got a lot of junk in there. And there's going to be some mighty earthquakes go on in your life, Peter. And you're going to be shaken and shaken and shaken. But I'm holding you. And only good's going to come out of this. Let not your heart be troubled. When Peter began to be shaken I mean, he said this night, Peter's standing around a fire, warming his hands. Jesus calls for a witness. There's no witness. There's John, there's Peter. And Jesus looked straight at Peter. And when he looked at Peter, you know, like, hey, Peter, you're the one. You wasn't going to deny me. You wasn't going to be offended. You know how the Roman law is. You know how the Jewish law is. I can call. I'm in a court situation here. Matter of fact, I'm going to be crucified if I'm found guilty here. And I have the right to call on a witness. Now, Peter, you, my closest friend, I'm calling on you for a witness. The little lady by the fire said, ain't you one of his? Now's your time. He's calling you. Go on up to the witness stand. He's called you. Peter, come forth. Raise your right hand. Swear to me. Peter, I don't know. I don't know. Jesus looks at him with them piercing eyes. The scripture says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. My, what a sentence. My, what a sentence. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before. I have. It's been a mighty sentence, and I've wept bitterly. But the good shepherd knows what he's doing. And I got myself into that situation because of my arrogant mouth, my own enthusiasm, my own strength led me there. I know how Peter feels. I mean, if you go back and give a message to my disciples, only 10's going to show up. Judas is already gone. Peter, now what's he thinking? I've blown it. I'm no longer one of his disciples. I mean, go back and tell all my disciples to meet me at such and such. Peter ain't going to show up. I mean, do you ever feel like that? There's no need for me to go. I have blown it so bad. I've messed it up so bad. No need for me to go. Thinks he's been kicked out. But what was the message that Mary got? A special message Mary got when Jesus rose. Jesus said, go back and tell my disciples, and especially Peter. I want you to go and just grab Peter by the face and say, Jesus rose. You're still in. He still loves you. You're all right. Come tell him I'm risen. I just left Peter alone for a little bit so he can learn a lesson, because I've got great plans for him. Now it's time for the shepherd to take over. Peter's busted. He ain't got no strength. He got no words to say no more. He ain't preaching no more sermons. Now it's time for the shepherd, the good shepherd, to come and take over. What did he say? In my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, Peter, on my shoulders there's plenty of room. I'll put you right up on my shoulders. And I'll feed you with goodness. And I'll feed you with mercy. I'll restore your soul, Peter. It's all right. He says, Peter, now that I've got you in this place, I've got to teach you. I've got to teach you now. You learned this little lesson, but did you really learn? Now comes time for the special anointed one-on-one teaching, Peter, between you and me. I've got to ask you one question, Peter. Do you love me? What did Peter say? Lord, thou knowest. Well then, Peter, feed my lambs. And by the way, Peter, let me just ask you another question. Peter, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest. Well then, Peter, feed my sheep. And I just got one more special question for you, Peter. And I love this. Well, you know how this verse starts out? It starts off after they had dined. Giving Peter some special berries here. Got to get his strength back. He's got to have enough strength to answer this question. Peter, do you love me? The third time he asked him, Peter, do you love me? What did Peter say? Peter finally said, Lord, thou knowest. In other words, I give up. I don't have anything else to say. You know me, Lord. You made me. You know me. And Jesus looks at him with a smile on his face and says, Peter, now you've got it. Now feed my sheep. Now you understand, when you was young, you went about, you girded yourself, you went about in your own strength. But now that you're older, now that you have been grown up a little, you understand your weakness. Now let me gird you. Let me lead you, because I'm the good shepherd, and my name's at stake here. You see what I'm talking about? You've learned your lesson. There may be somebody here who feels like they've been on top of the mountain long enough, on top of the rock long enough, and felt alone long enough. You wondered why. Why does it feel like the Lord has left me? Well, he's not. The Lord has his ways to bring you into his paths of righteousness, because that's what he's doing. He leads me into the paths of righteousness. Why? Because he's bringing you into a higher level. He's bringing you into growing up. He knows if you stay there, you'll die. I mean, I told you before the devils and before angels, before God in heaven, he's the Savior. He said, I'll do it. Our reputation's at stake. Even in the darkness, he guarantees to be there. He's the good shepherd. Remember, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me go back over here to this psalm and just wrap this up here a little bit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow of death. Denise talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's not real death. It's the shadow. But I want to tell you something here, guys. This has got nothing to do with death. It's actually what it refers to is those days that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. Those evil days. Remember, we just talked about gird yourself with truth and all this. Put on the helmet of salvation that you might be able to stand in the evil days. That's what he's talking about here. The evil days. And see, that in our life there are days, and then there are days. You know what I'm talking about. There is days, and then there are days. And this psalm here is describing my relationship to the shepherd. It tells me the good things. I have all that I need and plenty to spare. It tells me that he leads me in peace, and I obey and follow his voice, and he restores my soul when I'm under pressure from my enemies. But then he tells me when I'm in rebellion, the good shepherd still doesn't forsake me. He's got his methods. Then he says there are times when it seems the whole world has caved in on me. But I want you to know that in such a day, I will fear no evil. Why will he not fear any evil? For thou art with me. That's a statement of faith. That's a statement. You got to come to that knowledge, Patty, because there was times in my life when I thought he had left me. I thought I was in sin. No way he could be with me. But in the middle of all of that, now I know thou art with me. I don't care what. What is going on? What is happening? Thou art with me. That's a little sheep in the canyon, in the darkness, in the valley of the shadow of death, hearing the coyotes. You know, we used to go coon hunting and stuff like that, and out there in the coon hunting at night, man, you'd hear all kinds of things. Sometimes you'd hear an old panther or something, or a bobcat. scare you to death. Daddy said, make the hair stand up on the back. This is a little shepherd out there, or a little sheep out there in the midst of that, Patty, hearing the coyote, hearing the mountain lion, hearing the bobcats, and hearing the coyote, hearing it all around me. What does that do? I mean, just me as a physical person, I'm scared at night. You know, here we are sitting there listening. Oh, where's he at? I hear something over there. I hear something over there. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's dark. What about your sense of touch? I mean, how do I feel? I don't like it. It's cold. It's wet. It's dark. I do not like how I feel. Seem to feel like we're at the bottom of this horrible place. What about your vision? What do you see? That's the problem. I don't see anything. It's dark. In the darkness, you don't see nothing. All I'm hearing is noises all around me. I don't know what it is, but I think it's out to get me. I know that roar. What do you hear? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? No. You hear the voice of the mountain lion. You hear the voice of the coyote. You hear the voice of all of them. You can't do it. You'll never mount to anything. You're stupid. You're dumb. You're not gonna mount to a hill of beans. You can't. You can't. What do you hear? David says, in the midst of all of that, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. My senses bring one message to me. He's gone. That's why the church world thinks he's way over yonder. Because their senses stand up with one message and say, Jesus has left the building. But in the midst of all of that, I say, no, thou art a liar. Thou art with me. I know him, and he knows me, and his name is Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. I'm bought with a price.
Yes. Yes.
I belong to him. He owns me. He don't come back to the Father and say, well, you gave me 100 sheep, Patty. I got 87 of them. Beverly got lost. I don't know where she's at. She was in the... Roger got in the mess. I couldn't save him, but I got 87 of them. His name's at stake.
Yes.
Comes back to the Father with his reward and says, look, I've lost none. It's a good shepherd. In the midst of that darkness, I just reach my invisible hand out and take hold of his invisible hand by faith. I grab a hold of that hand and I say, thou art with me. Let me just keep on this thing. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comforts me. In the midst of all of that, I find comfort. How is that? The valley of the shadow of death, find comfort. In the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, David says, wait a minute, I'm starting to feel better. He's with me. Yeah, he's with me. Not only is he with me, he's not with me as some weakling. He's got a rod and a staff. Let that bear come and watch my shepherd go over there and beat that bear to death with that rod. Mountain lion, come and get him. There ain't no way I can make it up there with that rod and that staff with that big crook on the end of it. When I start to slip, he just grabs me with that crooked thing and lifts me right up and helps me right up. You know, we got that little dog in the house. He ain't big enough to get up on nothing. What do? You just reach down and you help him up. He's got that staff that just reaches down and lifts me right up. Comforts me. I'm really safe in him. Now listen to this. It's nighttime. I've spent a day with the shepherd. It's nighttime and he's brought me into this sheepfold. You remember the sheepfold, this horseshoe place. He's brought me into this place of safety. And he says, thou preparest a table before me, the presence of mine enemies. At nighttime, guys, is when all the animals, all the predators move in for the kill. I mean, Tracy's dog got killed by a bear at night. My dog got eaten up by coyotes at night. All these things come out at night. So he's brought me into the sheepfold, and I hear the coyote, I hear the mountain lion. Now the shepherd's got a little fire going. Have you ever been out at nighttime and had a fire, and you look out and you can see the eyes? You don't know how big the head is behind the eyes, but all you can see is the eyeballs. Have you guys ever been driving down the road and you see some eyeballs in the bushes? You don't know, is it a coon, is it a possum, is it a deer, is it a dog? I don't know. I'm looking out and I see the eyeballs. I see all of my enemies gathered around me, but he's preparing a table in the presence of mine enemies. They sought to kill me. But you know, they won't touch me. Because in order to get to me, they got to come through the shepherd. Do you realize every one of you that came in here today, did y'all come through the roof, dig a hole in the concrete? Y'all came in by the door. Jesus says, I'm the door, and I'm in him. So if I'm in him, Roger, and you're going to get to me, you're going to have to come in by the door. Well, who's the door? Jesus is the door. So if you're going to get to me, you're going to have to first meet the doorkeeper. You're going to have to first touch him before you can ever touch me. I'm feeling safe. And with all that, the little sheep begins to lay down and go to sleep. After feeding on all the berries that the good shepherd had been picking all day, well, the sheep didn't know it. He's got his little pouch and he's been picking berries all day, the kind that the sheep loves. And when the sheep is in there, he throws the little berries out to the sheep. So the sheep is just laying down eating berries. And he goes to sleep with a full belly, knowing that he's in full safety. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but in me, you'll have peace. I can't explain that. All I can just tell you is that it's so. In the midst of all my enemies, I'm at peace. Have you ever experienced that? In the midst, when you should be upset, when you should be going through it, when you should have the same mindset as the world and the stress, but yet you have peace. I can't explain it, Bev. All I know is there's another good berry. Now listen, you would think when a person got saved, a new believer got saved, you would think we would ship them off to some Amish community where they would be safe, wouldn't we? I mean, that's the way we want to raise our kids, in the ultimate safety. We want to send them off to Amish country, border town, you know, rope it off, gate it off, so we don't want them exposed anymore. In the presence of my enemies? We want to just ship them off to a Christian factory. I mean, you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Of that, there's no doubt. But why would he leave you in the mess that you're at? You ever wonder that? I mean, I got saved, but I'm still in the same mess. I still deal with the same things you deal with, that everybody in the world deals with. Same family, same messed up stuff that goes on. You know, he didn't transport me out and say, okay, little Jim, your family was messed up. And now I'm going to take you over here and put you in the safe family where everything's all right. And everybody that comes will say comforting words to you, and it'll be great. And it'll be fine. And you'll just skip along on the yellow brick road, and it'll be great. No oompa loompas and none of that, you know. It's not that way, is it? You're still exposed. He makes a table in the presence of mine enemies. Why is that? Because he's got his reputation at stake, Patty. He's got something to prove that he is the good shepherd. And in the midst of all of that, I've lost none. His great name. Five minutes, Jeff, I'll be done. You're going to be kept by the power of God. Not by your willpower, not by your environment, And you're going to learn that. You're going to be kept by Him, kept in Him. And before the psalmist would go to sleep, what does he say? Thou anointest my head with oil. David says, you know, good shepherd, you're pretty lavish, wasn't you? My cup runneth over. You didn't give me half a cup. My cup runneth over. You drenched me. You poured all over me. Now, just to tell you a little bit, the shepherds carried a horn of olive oil, a big old horn of olive oil. And when the sheep would go out during the day and they would walk through the briars and walk through the stuff, they would get scratches and cuts on them. Well, as they came into that sheepfold, that good shepherd would take that horn of oil and he would inspect that sheep and he would take that oil and pour on that cut, cover that whole sheep up, and he would rub that oil into that sheep. But so in the morning when that sheep got up, he's healed. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. Thou hast covered me. With His stripes we are healed. You have poured the oil of gladness all over me. Every cut that I walked through and scraped that I got banged up with in the world, that I walked through it and I got cut and I'm bleeding and I got blood running down me, the good shepherd says, come here. I've got this horn of oil called the Holy Ghost. And I've poured this thing out all over you, and I'm just going to rub it all in all over you. You got wounded. You got hurt. You refreshed me with that oil, David says. You have refreshed me. Even as we walk with the shepherd, We are kept perfectly safe. Even in the presence of the sins that so easily beset us. You know, there are some sins that easily beset us, but we're kept safe in the midst of that. Even in the sins that dog us, we're kept safe. Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, knowing that, then we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts, unto the Lord, giving thanks for all things because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that brings us to the last verse. Surely. You know what surely means? Surely, without a doubt. Don't even doubt it. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that word follow means to pursue you, to hunt you down, to chase you. Do you realize? Listen to this, Beverly. You don't have to look for mercy. I've grown up in a church that said, seek mercy. Listen, you don't have to seek it. It's hunting you. Mercy is hunting you down. Pursuing you. God's got two sheepdogs. Their name is goodness and mercy. Two sheepdogs that round up the flock. And they're always nipping at your heels. Everywhere I go, there's goodness. Thank God there's mercy. I cannot get away from it. Goodness and mercy. She'll follow me and shall pursue me all the days of my life. I just want to go tell somebody, I didn't look for mercy. It found me. I wasn't looking for goodness. He sought me out. He surrounded me. Two sheepdogs. Every time I stray away from the flock, He says, come here, dogs. Go get it. Every time, Patty, every time I get away from the flock, He sends them two hound dogs, goodness and mercy. And they come out to Hare Park and then a hollering and a scratching at the door. And they won't quit scratching at the door all night long, barking and yelping. Goodness and mercy's here. Goodness and mercy's here. You're in this place all alone. You feel like you're starving. Feel like you've been left with goodness and mercy. And I got two doors to my house. One's on the front door, one's on the back door. And they're barking, goodness and mercy, all night long. Jesus stands at the door and knocks and says, if any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him.
Yes.
I will dine with him. Won't you let me in, he says. Surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Stop on that part right there.